Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And good to see everybody this morning. And I hope you got a good night's rest. Amen. I know a lot of times I don't know where I'm waking up at. Amen. A lot of times I wake up and I think, where am I at? Where am I at today? You know, and because I'm in a different place, different bed, seemed like every night almost, and traveling, preaching and stuff, but that's okay. A lot of preachers ask me, how'd you sleep last night, Brother Brian? I always say, I'm not sure, because I was so asleep, I'm not sure how I slept, amen, amen, and but it's a blessing to be here. I sure love this dear church, and thank you, preacher, for having me, and I sure love you. I pray for you every Tuesday morning. I pray for you in this church, and have for years. I prayed for this church, and many times, even during the week, I'll be driving down the road, and the Holy Spirit will put you on my mind, and I'll just pray for you, and pray the Lord will watch after you and use you. And, well, it's been good services. I tell you, I felt the Spirit of the Lord working in heart. And the preacher said it about right that the past few nights I've been, and even today and tonight, but I started off and I had to cut you open as a surgeon. Amen. I had to cut you open and we had to get to the center of the problem. And we had to I had to go after the problem. I had my gallbladder taken out this year, and well, he had to go in there and take it out. Well, he really didn't do it. Right before they're getting ready to take me in, he told me, he said, listen, he said, they asked me, he said, do you mind, this is going to be robotic surgery. Well, they didn't tell me that until I'm on my way down there, and they've already given me joy juice. So I'm all joyed up, amen. And I said, sure, whatever you want to do, amen. I'm fine, amen. But it's like a robot that does that. And does surgery. And they told me, they said, yeah, they could even be somebody in Atlanta doing the surgery. They can be another city doing the surgery through that robot. Now, folks, I don't know about you. I said, well, I got to ask you a question. They said, well, I said, what if that satellite goes bad or something goes bad? That thing's not getting a signal. Who's going to take over? Amen. Amen. But the doctor said, well, I'll be there to take over. Amen. But anyway, they had to go in there and get to the problem. You understand what I'm saying? That's what preaching does. Preaching goes inside and gets to the problem. And they got to open you up. And so the last few nights, I've opened you up and did some surgery. And I'm continuing on this morning. We got to finish. And by the way, let me say this. If you're having surgery, it's not good to get up and leave and don't come back. Can I have amen? Amen. You be wise, stay there and let them finish the surgery and sew you up. Amen. All right. So tonight I'll sew you up. Amen. And I'll finish up. But we're doing surgery today, and it's a blessing. Blessing to have my sweet wife with me, amen, and have her with me. And sometimes she gets to go with me, sometimes she don't, because she's been staying back helping take care of my mama. And of course, mama's in her last days now and about to go home to be with the Lord. Now, this is a mama. I want to tell y'all, this is a mom. We got tickled last night. We stopped by to check on her, make sure she's okay and getting settled for bed and stuff, you know, getting settled in. She's conscious and, you know, but she's not receiving any blood and she don't have any blood. So you can't live without blood, but they've had to stop it because it attacks her body now. And so she's getting weaker and weaker each day. and she'll eventually go home. But last night we stopped by and she said now, and she was real weak, she said, "Now listen, when I die, y'all make sure you cut the power off on the house." And I'm thinking, I said, "Well, Mama, we've cut the power off, the pipes might freeze and stuff." "Well, you don't need to be paying a big electric bill, amen." Don't that sound like a mama? Don't that sound like a mama? She's more concerned about what's going on. My wife said, this is good now. This is the way all mamas do. All mamas, they always said, "Now, don't forget to do this when they're leaving, you know. When a mom's leaving, now don't y'all forget to cut lights off. Don't forget to lock the doors. Don't forget to, don't that sound like a mama? Amen." My grandma, she used to, when we were always leaving her, she'd always say, "Now make sure y'all close the bathroom window before you take a bath." She didn't want us to get a cold. Well, that's the way they are, amen. But thank God for them, amen. Thank God for them there. Well, take your Bibles this morning. We want to get into our Sunday school lesson this morning, and to the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. I just finished, just a few days ago, I finished the book of Daniel, but we'll go to Daniel chapter 1 this morning. And if you could stand, please, out of respect to the Word of God, and as we read the Bible this morning, that would be great. In verse 1, the Bible says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God." Now notice that's a big G-O-D. You see that? That's the real God. That's the real God. But look what they did. "Which he carried unto the land of Shinar to the house of his," what? Little G-O-D. That's not the real God. That's not the real God. "And he brought the vessels in the treasure house of his little G-O-D, God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his units, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, and there. So let me just tell you real quick what's happened is that this king now has literally kidnapped these kids. He has taken these kids. Now, there's a reason why that he took these kids. Because these kids were special kids. These kids have, there. Brother Bill, could you turn that up just a little bit for me there? Could you turn up there? Yeah, that feels better. Amen. And so, in verse 4, these are the kind of children they were. The Bible says they were children whom was no blemish. You know what that means? They were healthy. They were healthy kids. These kids didn't lay on the couch and eat Twinkies and potato chips. Amen. And they ate healthy stuff. They were well, in shape kids. No blemishes. And then look what the Bible said. And they were well favored. Hey, you know what that means? That means people like to be around them. How many of you ever been around a teenager you didn't like to be around? Amen. Amen. They were respectable. They knew how to say yes, sir, no, sir, no, ma'am, and thank you, ma'am. They knew they were very respectful, and people enjoyed being around them. They were favored. They were favored. Look what it says. And they were skillful in all wisdom. You know what that means? They had skills. These kids had skills. Hey, they knew how to change the oil in the chariots. Can I have amen? Hey, these kids knew how to, they had skills. They probably knew how to build stuff. They knew how, they were skillful in their wisdom. They were skillful. Look what also, and they were cunning in knowledge. That means they did their homework. These kids were smart. They had knowledge. And then look what also, and the Bible says, and they understood, they were understanding, what's the next word? Signs. These kids knew where they came from. They knew they didn't come from a monkey. Can I have amen?
Amen.
These kids knew exactly where they come from. I was knocking doors down in China Grove years ago. I come across a professor from Wake Forest University. And I began to talk to him, and he said, what do you think about creation? I said, well, I know what happened. Creation, God created. That's very simple. He said, I don't believe that. He said, I'll tell you what. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I believe, and now this is a professor, an egghead professor, amen, at this college, at a Baptist, Southern Baptist College, used to be, I don't know what it is now. But anyway, he said, I believe that and billions and billions of years ago, that it was actually like a rock or some kind of thing in the bottom of the ocean. And it began to form. It began to form, and the particles began to build this big old rock into like a volcano under the ocean. And then it exploded. It exploded and sent all these amoebas, that's what he called them, amoebas all over the ocean. Now I'm listening to this. I'm listening to this. And those amoebas were floating around in the sea, in the ocean, and one day, all of a sudden, an arm popped out. That's what he said. And for a million years, that little meeby-beeby swimmed around with one arm. Now, don't you know his arm got tired? Amen. Amen. And I'm not kidding. Brother Jim, I'm not kidding. This guy's telling me this stuff. And then another million year, another arm popped out. And that little maybe baby swimmed around, couldn't see, bumping into things. Well, then one long, another arm, a leg popped out. And then another leg popped out, millions of years later. Then a head popped out. He's telling me this. And then it had a tail. And it swam ashore. It swam ashore. And climbed up in a tree like a monkey. He's telling me this. And I said, don't tell me the rest of the story. I know what the rest of the story is. He said, what is it? I said, one day his tail fell off. He fell on his head, got up, put a suit on, became a professor at Wake Forest University. He said, you're being smart with me. I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, sir, it's a lot easier for me to believe that God created than it is that some just formed like that. I said, the very watch I got on, somebody had to form it. There had to be a creator. Can I have amen? I said, I didn't just wake up one morning. How'd that get there? And it just formed on my arm. But these kids knew science. Can I have amen? They were intelligent. They were smart. And such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and with whom they might teach to learn in the tongue of Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine. And he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. And verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning now. And I want to be a help to this church and these young people. Now, Lord, use me in the next few moments that only God could do. And I promise you, Lord, that just like I've done every night, that when it was all said and done, I gave you all the glory because you deserve every bit of it. Thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated there. I think about this morning that the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, look at me just a minute. I want you to realize that everything you do in life, there's a purpose for it. Can I have amen? Whether it's right or wrong, there was a reason why you did what you did. How many of you remember this when you were kids, or you kids might know of it now, is have you ever heard your mom and dad say this? Son or daughter, what was the purpose of that? Can I have amen? What was the purpose of that? Well, you know what? They want to know, why did you do what you did? Why did you, you know, wreck the car? Why did you, you know, blow the house up? Why did you do this? Or why? And by the way, everything you do, there's a reason why you do it. Now, if you're doing something wrong, it might be because you're trying to be funny. Or you're trying to please somebody. Or you're trying to get back at somebody. But there's a reason why you do what you do. And in life, I have learned now, there's only two purposes in life. There's only two purposes. The first purpose is my own purpose. What I want to accomplish for me, myself. Amen. I want to do it. Maybe you want to do it because, or yourself. You're trying to accomplish things for yourself. Maybe it's to make more money. Maybe it's to have a nice house. Maybe it's to have a nice car. Maybe it's to have these things. But whatever the reason is, you got a reason why you're doing what you're doing. But then the second purpose is God's purpose. You see, God has a purpose for everybody in this room. I said, God has a purpose. Young people, look at me. God has a purpose why He created you. He didn't come and say, I'm going to create you because I need somebody to fill a gap on the third row of Gospel Light Baptist Church. And by the way, you're doing a great job at it. Amen. Hey, but God has more of a purpose for your life. He didn't just create people just to fill a hole. Can I have amen? Why? God has a purpose for your life, and it's always to bring glory to God. It's always to bring glory to God. So, He created you for a reason. He has a purpose for your life. See, everything God creates, there's a reason why He created it. Can I have amen? I mean, sometimes I've watched these programs where they find these creatures in the mark. And I said, God, why'd you create that thing? I don't even know what the purpose of that is. But God had a purpose. Right. And it might be because I could watch it on television and enjoy it. But I know that God had a reason for it. God has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Now, but the question is, how can I find, and by the way, that's the most important purpose. Not for me, what I gain, but what God has for me in my life. That's the most important purpose. Is everybody with me? But we're going somewhere with this. So how can you find the purpose of God for your life? How can you find it? Well, There's a way to find the purpose of God in your life. The purpose is the structure, like of a house. Is everybody with me? The purpose of God for your life is the structure of a house of your life. Not the foundation, the structure. The purpose is the result. It's going to be the result of something. So what is the foundation? What do I build my life on to fulfill, now look at me, to fulfill the purpose of God for my life? What am I going to build it on? One word is called principles. I'm going to put some principles in my life that I'm going to live by every day so that I can fulfill the purpose of God for my life. Every day you want to have principles in your life that you live by so that you can find what God wants for your life. Can I have amen? Now, stay with me. Years ago, I remember, matter of fact, I was at Gospel Light Baptist Church here and as a bus director and youth director. And I remember Brother Hiles was coming through, I think it's at Sheets Memorial Baptist in Lexington, North Carolina. And he was there that afternoon having a question answer time with pastors and assistant pastors and, you know, people in the church. And so we drove over and Brother Hiles was there. And I remember that afternoon, of course, I never would ask Brother Hiles questions because he'd shoot you down. Amen. And I didn't like asking him questions, but I'm sitting there and listening to Brother Hiles, and he just talked. He didn't preach. He just talked to men. And he said, "Man, let me tell you what I did as a young preacher boy." He said, "When I was a young preacher boy and East Texas," he said, "I went out in the woods one night and I prayed all night in the pine thickets of East Texas." And he said, "During the early hours of the morning, God gave me 7 principles to live my life by." And he said, "All these years, I have built my life on these principles." And he said, "I believe that's why I'm where I'm at today. It's because of what God gave me to build my life on." And they were from the Word of God. They were from the Word of God. So that I left there. I remember that night. I went that afternoon. I went back and I spent the night in prayer. I spent the night in prayer. And I've jotted some things God gave me during the night on some principles to live my life by. I want to give them to you. I write them in my Bible. I've written them in my Bible. Every time I'd wear a Bible out and get a new one, I'd write in that Bible those principles. I look at these principles 2 and 3, sometimes 4 times a week. Because, and I believe with all my heart, the reason you're still looking at Craig Bryan serving God is because I built my life on these principles. And I want to give them to you. Okay? And I want you, and by the way, remember, principles are the foundation to fulfill and find the structure of God for your life. Amen? And you build them on. Let me give them to you. Are you ready? I've got them written in the back of my Bible here. And by the way, you don't have to use these principles, but God gave these to me, and I believe they're very scriptural. Amen. And I built my life on it. It's done a pretty good job. Number one, let me give it to you. Number one, and by the way, they're very simple. My pastor, Curtis Hudson, you say, when you preach, put the cookies on the lower shelf where they can reach it. Amen. But number one, I will love God. I will love God. You say, "Brother Brian, I know that. I know that. Everybody knows that." Yeah, but did you know you can live with somebody and not love them? Is everybody with me? Do you know there's people that are married, been married for years and don't love each other? Maybe you can't imagine that, but it happens all the time. I got some parents don't love their kids. I mean, they love them, but they like to kill them too. Can I have amen? Hey, I had a couple come in my office when I was pastoring up in Michigan. They've been married 40-some years. They hated each other. They hated it. And the only reason they wouldn't get a divorce, leave it, because of money. Because of money. And so I was counseling. Well, a fight broke out in my office. Brother Rick, a fight broke out. I mean a fist fight. It wasn't words. It was a fist fight. And all of a sudden, that woman drilled him. I mean, she nailed him, buddy, right in the mouth. And blood started gushing out of that man's mouth. They were wrestling. They were knocking books. They were knocking books in the floor, knocking stuff off my desk. You say, what did you do, Brother Brian? Man, I watched it. It was good. Amen. That's one of the best fights I ever seen. Matter of fact, I was leaning over my desk and say, get him, hit him right there. I'm serious. I was cheering that thing on, amen. Hey, who needs television when you can watch it in my office like that, amen? Hey, they were punching and hitting and she was pulling his hair. I mean, it was wild, bro. And everything. And they were about to kill each other. Well, about 10 minutes, preacher. About 10 minutes, they've been fighting and fussing and everything. They got up. They were huffing and puffing. I said, "Y'all done?" And they said, "Yeah, we're done, preacher." And by the way, that guy deserved that punch. He deserved it. He had been a jerk to his wife. Well, they sat down. I said, "Sit down." I said, let me tell you what y'all's problem is. They said, what is it? I said, you don't love each other. If you love somebody, you're not going to treat them that way. You're not going to talk to them like dirt. You're not going to be mean to them and all that stuff. You're not going to treat each other cold when you love somebody. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what? That's why Jesus, that's why he told them when they tried to get him on the law there, and that guy was, that lawyer was trying to test him on the law and get him to go against the rest of the law. And Jesus said, the lawyer said, what's the greatest commandment? And without any hesitation, Jesus said, that first law commandment where it says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. This is, and hang all the law on this. That's what he said. You know why he said that? Because he knew if you love God, you're not going to have a problem living by the rest of them. You're not going to have a problem. Hey, let me tell you something. When you love somebody, it doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how far you got to go. Hey, you do it because you love them. Amen. And when you love God, you don't care how hard it is. You don't care the price you got to pay. It doesn't matter how far you got to go to love Him. You're going to love Him with all your heart. When the trials and the heartaches come, you're going to just keep loving God. Amen. Keep loving God. Why? Because you love Him. Because you love Him. Number two, I will not let money make my decision. I will not let money make my decision. I have learned in life, in the years, that there's times that I've had to take a stand and say, I don't care about your money. I don't care about your money. It's not, I don't want your money. I'm here to serve God. Amen. I want it to go to God's work. I want God to use it. Amen. You see, if you let money make your decision, it can get you out of the will of God. It can get you out of a good church. How many people through life have I seen them pack their bags up and move away from a good church? and because of a job to make more money, and then not serve God and get away from God. Can I have amen? I know preachers out of ministry today because they let money make their decision. And I've decided in my life that money doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And the older I get, the more I realize how important it is. Can I have amen? You say, why you say that? Because my God shall supply all my needs. I didn't say all my wants. I said all my needs. I've learned to trust God for everything. Everything. I have to. Hey, look. When God called me to be an evangelist preacher, if you came to me and told me you got a dying wife with cancer and God called you to be an evangelist, I would say you're nuts. And no meetings. No meetings. And you come to me and tell me God's called. I say, buddy, you're crazy. You're crazy. Don't do that. And you're getting a paycheck as a pack, you know, you got to settle play. Don't do that. But guess who did that? I did. And my wife knew it. She was the one that too was in this thing and said, honey, this is God's will for you. And I'm glad she said that. I'm glad she said that. She said, this is God's will for you. I see it. And God showed both of us from the Word of God that that's what He wants us to do. And so I stepped out, gave up my pastor. I mean, good church. They took good care of me. They just took good care of me financially, everything. They loved me. And I stepped away from that with no meetings and a dying wife with cancer and stepped out on faith. But I'm telling you, God has been there every step of the way. Amen. I'm in my eighth year of in evangelism and preaching, and God has never let me down. Amen. And God is still there. And I'm telling you why, because I said I will not let money make my decision. You see, principles will build the structure of your life. They will build your life what they should be for God. For God. Can I have amen? And then number three, I will be faithful to my wife. I said that long years ago. I will be faithful to my wife. Let me tell you something. We're living in a day that people don't know how to commit. Can I have amen?
That's right.
That don't know how to commit to their church, their pastor, their mates. They're not faithful to their own mates. How in the world are they going to be faithful at church?
Right.
Can I have amen?
Amen.
I had a daddy that was faithful to my mom. My daddy was the best example any man could ever have. Amen. Or any child could ever have. My daddy was faithful. My daddy showed me how to love mama. My dad showed me how to love my wife. My dad did. And I thank God, my dad, when we had to put him in a nursing home, was one of the hardest things we ever did. Mama had just been diagnosed with her disease, and my daddy had dementia real bad. The first day, we had put my dad in a home. He ended up in the VA home. First day, he had all the alarms going off. All the alarms going off. They found him going down the road. And they said, Mr. Bryant, how in the world, where are you going? They called him and said, where are you going? He said, I got to go check on my wife. I'll be back. Because daddy was married to mama. I believe it was 60-some years, 63, 64 years, my dad had been faithful to my mama. And you think I'm going to turn my back on my wife after having a daddy like that? Well, you are sorry. If you come from a family, you know, and even if you didn't come from a family, why don't you start showing how you can be faithful to your wife? Can I have amen? I'm telling you, I've decided to be faithful to my wife. I will keep my testimony. I will keep my testimony. I'm going to tell you, you have to put your guards up all the time. Can I have amen?
Amen.
We live in a day where people will just throw their testimony out the door like it's nothing.
It's true.
Like it's nothing. And I'm going to tell you, you can say what you want to say, but the only Bible people are reading is your life.
Amen.
The only Bible they're reading. Now, they should be reading the Bible instead of looking at your life, but that's not the way it happens. And the world is looking at you. Young people, look at me. How are you living in front of your friends? Are you looking at filth for them on your phones? Are you around the wrong people, listening to wrong things, watching the wrong things, touching the wrong things? Can I have amen? Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. You say, well, you don't understand, Brother Brian. We got all these temptations. So did Daniel. So did Daniel. They were in the most wicked generation, that Babylon generation. That was a wicked, ungodly generation. You talking about wicked. They were following all these false gods and doing wicked things and running around on Jesus. Homosexual was back then too. All that mess was back there then too. You say, well, we live in a wicked generation. Hey, it's just proof that a teenager can live for God in a rough time.
Sure.
Daniel's the proof. He was a teenager.
Right.
He was a teenager. But it showed me that you can still live for God no matter how wicked it is going on around you. He kept his testimony. He kept his testimony. And boy, did God use Daniel. Let me say this, and then number five, whatever I go through in my life, I will give God the glory. Whatever I go through in life, I will give God the glory. You know, many of you, I look, you know, my life, some of you do. I was in Bible college, had a bus accident. The brakes failed on the bus and hit a car and killed an 83-year-old man. I was sued. They took me to jail that day. They put me in jail for manslaughter. I was sued for $2.5 million. I'm in Bible college, serving God. Hey, rough things can come even when you're serving God.
Oh, yeah.
And they sued me for all that money. Of course, I'm in Bible college. You sued me for $10 million. You ain't going to get nothing. Can I have amen?
Yeah.
But thank the Lord, all the charges were dropped. It was proved it was an accident. But I had to go through all that. Many of you remember this, my wife getting hit by a drunk driver on Highway 29. I don't know if you remember that or not. Carrying our first child. Ripped half this part of her face off. I remember Preacher Whitehart and I went back to the car where they towed it in. We got her face, half her face out of the windshield. I'll never forget Brother Whitehart. Brother Whitehart was real hyper anyway. And old Brother Whitehart, he was pushing. He wouldn't look at it. Because the flesh and stuff was still in the windshield. So yeah, he was getting sick on his stomach. So he's sitting there pushing, hurry up, Brian, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, I'm getting sick, you know. And I had to take that piece of flesh out and put it in a ice chest. And we carried it to the doctor and they put it in like a puzzle and sewed it back up. I remember when, we lost our child. We lost a child. We were up in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, and the baby was, we were about 6-7 months. She was alone, but she lost a child in the toilet. I had to dig that baby out of the toilet. And I remember the hospital gave us a little box to put in. The pastor gave us a little plot up there in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. We dug the hole and put that little baby in. I believe it's one of my first funerals I preached. My own child. Life's tough. I pastored I've seen people I love so much with all my, that I won to Christ and put their homes back together, turn on me and walk out the door like I never did anything for them. I know what pastoring is. I know what it is to lose one of the dearest things on this earth, your sweetheart, and watch her spine break and snap and watch her suffer till God took her home, preached her funeral. I know what heartache is. I know what it is when you're told that your wife's going to be blind for 3-4 months. I know what it is. I know what it is. But look at me. Look at me. But everything I went through, God got the glory. God got the glory. I was at a store last night. I stopped at a store. I was craving a Diet Mountain Dew. I stopped at a store last night. Lady was there at the counter. She was sharing me about her best friend just died. And I said, well, I know what you're going through. I said, my wife. I told him about my wife dying. Okay. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, why would God do that? Why would God do that to you? And I immediately stepped up and I said, ma'am, I'll tell you why God did that. I said, because the whole time my wife was sick, at the University of Michigan Hospital, 179 people got saved. Amen. I said, we got doctors that didn't even believe in God that got saved. Amen. She started crying. She said, God has a plan, don't he? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, God took your friend because he's got a plan. He's got a plan. It might be to bring you closer to God. It might be you're someone that needs to come to God. But God always gets the glory.
Amen.
Can I have amen? And then let me say this next of all. Number 6, my whole life will be based on reaching souls. My whole life will be based on reaching souls. He that winneth souls is wise. And you know what? Y'all have known me for years and years. And preacher, that has been the number one thing in my life. That I want everything I do to be in reaching people for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Winning souls. Winning souls. That's why a lot of preachers have me. It's not because I'm the great speaker, because I'm not. I know I'm not. I told you last night I slaughtered the English language. I kill it. But can I tell you something? And I know I've heard some of these preachers preach, and I'd say, man, they are powerful preachers. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'll tell you why they have, because they know that Brother Brian does what he says. He preaches on soul winning, he teaches soul winning, but he always shows them how to win souls. He'll be there going so well, he'll be right in the middle of the action. You know why? Because, buddy, it's always been my life that winning people to Christ, and I want to base everything I do on winning souls to Christ. Winning souls to Christ. And so and then my last principle is I will finish the race for God. If I start something, I want to finish it.
Amen.
I want to finish it. And I've set my life that I'm determined I'm going to finish the race. I know it's time to go, but can I say this? I remember the week that we were told that we went to the hospital. They found a big tumor on Bonnie's neck, and there were brain cells just pouring, a cancer cell just pouring into her brain. And the doctor said, there's nothing we can do. And I remember that day, preacher, we were in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they had to give her some extra morphine because we were about 3 hours from home. They gave us a bunch of pills to make her comfortable because bone cancer is one of the most painful cancers you can have. And so that was the longest ride I've ever taken in my life. That she was knocked out completely. But I remember watching her trying to get comfortable and trying to feel comfortable as we rode all the way back to Grand Rapids, 3 hours away. I remember when we pulled in the driveway, the hospice was waiting on us. They had already called hospice. They're sitting there waiting on us. We go in, and I'll never forget, we got her in, and the hospice lady went through her routine telling us everything. For about 45 minutes, she just went on. My wife was sitting in her recliner. And I'll never forget Bonnie. She did this. She smacked real bad at the end because chemo and stuff had made her so dry and stuff. And so when she talked, she got, she smacked like this. And she goes, when the lady paused a minute, my wife goes, "Are you done?" And my wife, you know her, she's a little straightforward old thing. She said, are you done? And the lady said, "Yes, Miss Bryant, I'm done." She said, "Can I ask you a question?" And the lady said, "Yes, Miss Bryant." She said, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And that lady looked at her, paused a minute. She said, "No, Miss Bryant, I don't know that." She said, "Hand me my Bible." And my wife had an old tattered King James Bible laying there she had had all the way back from Bible college. And she took that. She went the first year Hiles Anderson opened. And she took that old Bible and she began, she had neuropathy in her hands because the chemo, everything. She had no feeling. All right. But I kept saying, "Honey, you want me to turn back?" "No, I'll do it. I'll do it." Just like a woman. Independent. And all of a sudden, I watched her. Took her about 30 minutes, but she turned the pages of that Bible, and I watched that lady with tears trusted Christ as her Savior. You think I'm going to quit? You think when little problems come along, you think I'm going to throw in the towel? No, sir, buddy. No, sir. Because I've had people run the race ahead of me, buddy. And I've watched how they finished. And I said, "Lord, I want to go all the way to the end. Just as hard as I can go. And I want to finish. And I want to finish strong." Amen. I want to be like that Apostle Paul says, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I ran the race and I'm not going to quit."
Right.
Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for this Sunday school class. I pray that we'll have some young people. They'll have some guts to stand, to live for God and finish their race living for God. I pray we'll have some mom and dads that won't throw in the towel, discouraged because maybe of their children, of their family, things have happened. Help them to finish the race. We need you, Lord. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.